to my home, and many of his disciples and my business associates were there. It was a royal occasion to serve Jesus and his disciples. When some of the Pharisees were complaining about why Jesus was spending time with publicans and sinners, Jesus merely said, "Those who are well don't need a physician, but those who are sick do." Jesus said he has not come to call the righteous, but he's came to call the sinners unto repentance. Since the day that I repented and I decided to follow Jesus, I've studied the scriptures very closely. I am totally convinced that Jesus is the fulfillment of the scriptures concerning the Messiah, recording the heart of his sermon about the good news of the kingdom of God. It's a new gospel, and it's good news for the whole world. And yet, Jesus has just given us some horrible news, tragic news, that one of us is going to betray him. Who could it be? Are they going to suspect me because I was once a hated tax collector? Is it I, Lord? Is it I?
Peter. I was the first person to bring someone to Jesus. Now, I'm not a gifted man, but just an average, ordinary person like any one of you. And I've tried to use my gifts and talents that God has given me to bring others to Jesus. Now, I brought my brother Peter to Jesus, and I've been amazed at the gradual transformation in his life. Now, I found the little boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes the day he fed the 5,000 men, plus women and children, and was amazed that he could still have 12 baskets of food left over. Now, he must have seen something of value in me that others had overlooked, because he asked me to be one of the 12 apostles. And I've been close to the Master ever since. Now, we've been through many a triumph and many a tragedy, and I know in my heart that he is truly the Lamb of God. Now, I haven't been close in the inner circle like my brother Peter, but I haven't been in the outer circle either. And what greater gift could life afford a fisherman? And now, we find out that one of us is to betray him. How can this be? And how could they get away with it in their own heart? Is it I, Andrew? Is it I? Is it I?
Christ, precious Lamb of glory. giving thanks to the Lamb of glory. Precious Lamb of glory, God's most wondrous story. Heart of God's redemption of man, worshiping the Lamb of glory.
I'm James, the brother of John. John and I followed Jesus after he called us as we were mending our nets along the Sea of Galilee. We were honored and deeply humbled to be chosen by Jesus to be among his 12 apostles. I was with Jesus that day in the home of Jairus when he raised that man's little girl up from the dead. And we saw Jesus talking to Moses and Elisha on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was just last week we asked him, we said, "Teacher, grant to us that one of us might sit at your right and the other at your left when you enter into your kingdom." And he said, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the cup I'm about to drink?" And we said, "Oh, yes, Lord, we are able." He said, "Well, you truly will drink from my cup. However, it is not within my power to grant you the right and the privilege to sit at my side in the kingdom." And then he reminded us that he who would be first must be a servant to all. And he even demonstrated that tonight by washing our feet just before supper. You know, Jesus taught us that God's way is always a way of love. And now he says that one of us, whom he loves so much, is about to betray him. Well, now, how can that be? Why would one of us do such a thing? And who could it be? I keep thinking deep down in my heart, is it I? Is it I?
My name is Nathaniel, although I'm sometimes called Bartholomew. Like many of the others, I'm a fisherman. My home is in Cana of Galilee, where Jesus performed his first public miracle, turning water into wine at the wedding feast. I was a disciple of John the Baptizer. He introduced me to Jesus at Bethany beyond the Jordan. Now my friend Philip came to me saying, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." "How can anything good come out of Nazareth?" I said. I said it not in scorn or that Nazareth was held in ill repute, but that it was such a small, insignificant little place, I wondered why God would place his anointed in her midst. However, Philip said simply, "Come and see." Now, when I saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." "How do you know me?" I asked. He said, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Now, in my country, when working mothers go into the field, they place their little babies in the shade of the nearest fig tree. The large leaves shield the little babies from the hot rays of the sun. So actually, the Master was telling me that he had known me since the day I was born. It was then I confessed my faith. Now he tells us that one of us is to betray him. How can that be? How can a traitor be numbered among his closest friends? I keep asking myself, is it I? Is it I?
I'm Simon. Before Jesus called to me, I was part of a group of hot-headed, bloodthirsty revolutionaries known as the Zealot sect. We were all for armed open rebellion against our Roman oppressors. We believed in crushing our enemies beneath our heel to reestablish the ancient glory that was Israel's in the days of King David and King Solomon. But then Jesus told us about a different kind of kingdom. The kingdom of the human heart, where God will reign supremely forever. Since I've heard him speak, I've not only changed my mind, but also my allegiance. He's shown me that the conquest of the heart is the only true lasting conquest. I've completely and totally surrendered myself unconditionally to him now, to think as he thinks, to serve as he serves, and to love as he loves. But this surrender hasn't imprisoned me. Rather, it set me free for the first time in my life. I'm not afraid of Rome anymore. She may be mighty, but God is almighty, and we will conquer her by outlasting her and outloving her in the name of the God whom Jesus revealed to us. Now the Master says that here in the upper room there's a spiritual Roman among us, one who would attempt by force what can only be conquered by love. Who can it possibly be? Matthew the publican? The big fisherman or his brother? Or maybe, since I was once a bloodthirsty crazy zealot, it's me, Simon. Is it I, Lord? Is it I?
All of the others came from Galilee. My home is in a small village in Judea. Hence I am known as Judas of Cariah, or Judas Iscariot, the only Judean in the group. The others must have confidence in me, because they elected me their treasurer. And Jesus surely must have believed in me, because he chose me as one of the 12. Despite what others say behind my back about my impatience and stinginess and ambition, he believed in me. If he hadn't, he would have chosen someone else in my place. Others keep reminding me. Some say that I've appropriated these funds for my own use and that Jesus' words about the love of money and greed were personally directed at me. Others keep reminding me that Jesus was referring to me when he said, "Did I choose you 12 and one of you is a devil?" Of course I complained when Mary washed his feet with that expensive ointment and perfume. I still think that it was a waste of money. And if I conspired with the chief priests, and if I had 30 pieces of silver on my person, that's my affair. So, I've broken the salt covenant? So what? I believe in Jesus, but someone has to force the issue. Make him assert himself as God's Messiah. He refuses to make a move. Well, I've made one. He hints that he knows what I've done, but I have my reasons. My soul isn't as black as some think it is, nor is your soul as white as you think yours is. And what would you do if you were in my place and wanted him to do something dramatic and startling to usher in his kingdom? What would you do? Should I ignore his remark? Or like the others, should I piously, self-righteously ask myself, is it I? Is it I?
Thank you. Jesus.
Thomas, while I do not look upon life with gloom and despondency, I usually demand proof before I believe. Yet I am not a man of doubt, rather I feel sometimes that I am a man of daring. I recall the day when Mary and Martha sent word to the Lord that their brother Lazarus was dead. Jesus turned to us and said, "Let us go unto him." We knew of the growing opposition to Jesus, and some of the apostles didn't want to go into Bethany. I spoke out saying, Let us also go with him that we may die with him. Why do people remember my fear and forget my faith? How well I remember the Beatitudes he spoke. I can almost see him rebuking the winds of the stormy Galilee and healing the sick, curing the diseased, opening the eyes of the blind, unstopping the ears of the deaf, cleansing the lepers and preaching the gospel to the poor. Yet opposition has developed. His enemies are determined to destroy him. Why? Because the God he reveals is a greater God than their petty little man-made deities? He would bring us all up to God, while his enemies would cut God down to their own size. He would make us God's servants, while they would make God their servant. Now he says that even among us, the chosen 12, there is a traitor. Is he speaking of me? Is it I?
To the cross where your love poured out.
hear no music at all up here.
You were as I, tempted and tried. You are. The Word became flesh, bore my sin and death. Now you're risen, and everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. So lead me to the cross where your love poured out, and bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Only
Jesus called Peter and Andrew to follow him. He came to me, John, and my brother James. We were in the boat nearby with our father Zebedee mending our nets. He called us, and we immediately left the boat and our father and followed him. Since that time, I have tried to understand Jesus by loving him. Sometimes I believe that he is as much of God as will ever possess a human life. Yet I love him as a person, and he has returned my love. Sometimes he calls me the beloved disciple. He nicknamed James and me the Sons of Thunder, yet we are not boisterous men, but quiet, hard workers. Though at times we may be a bit impatient of those who reject Jesus, Peter and I completed the arrangements for the celebration of the Passover here in the upper room tonight, because he numbers us within his close, intimate inner circle. It was to me that he told about his talk with Nicodemus when he spoke those wonderful words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And again, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again, or you will not see the kingdom of God." Someday I want to write down some of his many wonderful deeds, so others may read them and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, so that they may believe and have life in his name. Now he tells us that there is one among us who will betray him. It is hard to believe. Yet it must be so, else he would not have said it. Who could it be? Surely not my brother or Peter or Andrew. Could it be John, the beloved disciple? Is it I? Is it I?
Free.
My name is Philip. I come from Bethsaida in Galilee. Well, several of my friends and I were in Bethany listening to John the Baptist preach. Jesus called upon us to become his disciples. And we all turned and followed him. I went after my companion, Nathanael, and was overwhelmed with joy when Jesus accepted him as a devoted follower. During these years of close fellowship with Jesus, my faith in God has become deeper and much stronger. I remember so well before he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, asking, "Where are we to buy bread that all these may eat?" Little did I know that Andrew was already bringing a young lad in his lunch to Jesus. I have always wanted to know more about the nature and person of God. When Jesus began to tell us that God was our Heavenly Father, it was almost beyond my understanding. However, as I have listened to the Master, I have grown to understand his words more and more. In fact, I can almost say, he who has seen Jesus has seen the Father. And what one wants to find in the Father, I find in Jesus. It's shocking to hear that there's a betrayer amongst us. Does he not know that he who betrays Jesus also betrays God? And does he not know that in conspiring against Jesus, he is also conspiring against God? Can one of our numbers be so blind? Could it be I, Philip? Could it be I?
I am Thaddeus, one of the disciples whom Jesus called to be an apostle. The Lord chose 12 of us to be the cornerstones of the new kingdom, just as the 12 tribes of Israel were the cornerstones of the old Jewish kingdom. I feel unworthy to be numbered among the apostles, but yes, he chose me. I remember the day after night in prayer, he called us together and said he had given us authority over unclean spirits and the power to heal all kinds of disease and infirmity. He commissioned us to go forth and preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that we would be as sheep among wolves. In Jerusalem, he gave the great invitation, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now he who has come to share men's burdens has a burden thrust upon him. The very knowledge that one of us will betray him before this night is over. Who could this traitor be? Which one of us, or will all of us, betray him before the night is through? Who is this man? James or Judas? Peter or Philip? Or is it I, Thaddeus? Lord, I must know. Is it I? Is it I?
no storm too dark, he cannot calm me. Carried the weight of the world upon his shoulder. I know, my brother, that he will carry you. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my sister, that he will carry you.
Peter. My brother Andrew and I were fishing on the Sea of Galilee one afternoon, casting our nets into the sea, when Jesus walked by and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." We immediately laid down our nets and followed him. Later, he used our boat as a pulpit to which to speak to the multitudes that followed him. One morning, after fishing all night and having taken nothing, at Christ's command, we let down our nets. We caught so many fish, we had to call nearby boats to help contain the catch. He told us thereafter we would be fishers for men. In fact, he changed my name from Simon to Peter, which means the rock. When I confessed him as Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, "On this rock, I will build my church." I want to prove to him that my love, loyalty, and devotion are sincere and genuine. Tonight, when he said that one of us would betray him, I promised to follow him even unto death. But when he warned me that before the cock would crow twice, I would deny him three times, even though the others call me the big fisherman, in his presence I feel small and unworthy. Will I deny him tonight before the rooster crows? And if I do, what will he do? Will he disown me? Will he deny me? Will he close the gates to the kingdom to me? Was he referring to me when he said, "One of you will betray me"? If I knew who the scoundrel was, I'd pierce his heart with this knife I hold in my hand. Maybe it would be my own heart that I would pierce. God grant it that it may not be so. Yet I keep wondering to myself, "Lord, is it I? Is it I?"
Lives of these men. Oh yeah, six. Let us recall the lives of these men. Nathaniel, portrayed by Rod Flatland, was cruelly beaten and crucified upside down. James DeLess, portrayed by Tom Hess, was beaten, stoned, and his brains dashed out with a follower's club, which is a tool or hammer used for grooving and spreading iron. Andrew, portrayed by Don Stauffer, was crucified at Odessa on a cross shaped like the letter X, with the two ends deeply embedded into the ground. It is now called the St. Andrew's Cross. Judas, portrayed by Josiah Mannin, sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver, later threw the money down and went out and hanged himself. Peter, portrayed by Sean Baumgartner, along with many other saints, Nero sought to put him to death. Jerome tells us that he was crucified with his head hanging down and his feet upward, and he himself requested it because he said, "I am unworthy to be crucified in the same manner as the Lord." His wife also suffered martyrdom. John, portrayed by Dave Plank, was exiled to the Isle of Patmos after escaping without injury out of a pot of boiling oil. Thomas, portrayed by Tom Erdahl, excited the rage of a pagan priest while preaching and was martyred, being thrust through with a spear. James the Great, portrayed by Glenn Melcine, was put to death by King Herod Agrippa. Clement Alexandria tells us of this account. As James was led to the place of martyrdom, his accuser was brought to repent of his conduct by the apostle's extraordinary courage and fell down at his feet to request pardon, professing himself to be a Christian, and resolving that James should not receive the crown of martyrdom alone. And so they both were beheaded at the same time, and thus the first martyr cheerfully and resolvedly received the cup he told the Savior he was ready to drink. Philip, portrayed by Keith Cromery, suffered martyrdom at Helipas in Perga. He was scourged, thrown into prison, and afterwards crucified. Matthew, portrayed by Dave Gustafson, was martyred in Ethiopia, being slain by a harbrid, which is a long-handled iron weapon. Thaddeus, portrayed by Dan Anderson, was crucified at Odessa. Simon, portrayed by Addison Runke, was crucified in Judah. Jesus Christ, portrayed by Pastor Joshua Mannin, the Son of the Living God, laid down his life through crucifixion on Calvary. The perfect Lamb of God who knew no sin, yet he took unto himself the sins of all mankind throughout all generations, that we might be redeemed. Oh, the price that Jesus paid for our salvation. Oh, the price that was paid by others to preserve the gospel and bring it to us so that we might believe and be saved.
You want me to start at tonight what he said?
Yeah. Tonight when he said that one of us would betray him, I promised to follow him even unto death. But when he warned me before the cock would crow twice that I would deny him three times, even though the others call me the big fisherman, I feel in his presence I feel small and unworthy. Will I deny him before the rooster crows? And if I do, what will he do? Will he disown me? Will he deny me? Will he close the gates? Will he close the doors to the kingdom to me? Of the kingdom to me? Was he referring to me? Gracious. Was he referring to me when he said that one of us would betray him? If I knew who the scoundrel was, I'd pierce him with this knife. Maybe it would be my own heart that I would pierce. God, grant it that it may not be so. Yet I keep wondering and saying to myself, Lord, is it I? Is it I?
That's the best.